You're listening to the Kids Ministry Collective Podcast. Each episode of the KMC is designed to inform, encourage, and entertain those who love kids and serving kids ministry. We hope you'll enjoy today's podcast and maybe even learn a thing or two. Now let's join our team for this episode of the KMC. And welcome to the KMC Podcast. It's good to have you back for this episode. We're talking in this episode about innovation over duplication, or even versus duplication. And I'm excited to have, I think this is your first time being on the KMC. David Madren, my buddy from Missouri. Welcome to the
Missouri. Missouri.
There we go.
Like to call it.
Welcome to the KMC Podcast, David.
A pleasure to join you. I come to Missouri from the great state of Texas. A whole nother country there. But it's definitely a pleasure to be with you tonight and talking about innovation over duplication, or as you put it, innovation versus duplication.
Yeah. Because I think as we look at kid ministry in general, just like with today's TV shows and movies, there's not a lot of innovation. Maybe in technique, but not so much in storyline, I've noticed. There's a lot of remaking going on. Found that very interesting. You know, all the 70s TV shows, The Gong Show and To Tell the Truth and all these shows that I'm really aging myself, grew up with. I'm feeling ancient now. But there's not been a lot. There's been a lot of duplication. There's been a lot of, and that's what we're talking about in this episode, is duplication, not meaning reproducing ourselves, but duplication in is we keep doing the same things over and over again, rather than innovating and doing something brand new, and that kind of thing. And so I thought this would be a great episode. You did a great podcast, or a blog, excuse me, that got my interest. And that's part of what was the catalyst for doing this. And so at the end of the episode here, David, we'll have you give your website. And so people can look up this blog post that we're talking about, called Innovation Over Duplication. That'll be good. But let me hit you, since you wrote this, let me hit you with the first question. And we're just going to kind of go back and forth and do our virtual round table, except it's more like a square because it's just the two of us. But we'll go virtual ping pong tonight.
There you go.
And why innovation over duplication? And maybe you can even define what you're saying. What's innovative versus duplication? Yes.
Right. So to me, innovative or, you know, innovation is, you know, the Lord bringing on something new, you know, you praying for a new vision, or God giving me some clarity on a new direction to take, ministry in, or, you know, I want to do this huge outreach event. And, in our community of Leaf Summit, Missouri, we've got right around 100,000 people in our town. And I would love to reach, you know, 10,000 of them, you know, with this incredible, exciting event. To me, being innovative is finding something that no one else has done, and just trusting the Lord with it and saying, Lord, you know, you develop this. You pull the people together. You pull the creativity together on this, and let's not rely on what worked yesterday. Mm-hmm. Today, say yesterday's innovation is today's duplication, and we see that quite a bit. You know, you're talking about the TV shows and the movies and such. You know, I think about Wonder Woman being out. Mm-hmm. You know, the theaters now, a great remake. Loved the TV show back in the 80s, But they're taking a concept that was already there. They're taking characters that are already there, and Hollywood has this reputation of just repeating history and repeating what was done 20 to 30 years ago. You even see that in clothing styles. You know, what was popular in the 80s,
right,
starting to come back a little bit now. My little girl, he's wearing a fanny pack at camp this week. I mean, who thought fanny packs, of all things, would be coming back? You know,
oh, Lord, so, Jesus is going to return soon. If that's coming back.
That is the prayer, brother. That is the prayer. but, you know, just looking for something fresh, fresh ideas, a fresh spin on things. You know, so to me, that is why innovation over duplication is so much better.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's very, very true. Is that oftentimes, and we're not saying that, you know, duplication, doing something you've done before, is a bad thing necessarily. But when we have the God of creativity,
That's right.
In our corner, then we ought to be tapping into the fountain of life, man. And we should be leading the innovation. Instead, we often find kids ministry catching up. You know, we catch the trends. You know, I mean, for instance, how long was it that fidget spinners were out? And then all of a sudden, we start seeing lessons and ideas of how you can use fidget spinners in the church.
Yeah, it wasn't long.
Yeah, but they were there. They had been out for a while. I mean, bottle flipping had been out a couple of months.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, we start seeing people, you know, bringing all these bottle flipping ideas out and games and stuff. We were behind on it. We were reacting rather than creating. And I think that's one of the challenges that your post gave to me, is how can I look at what I'm doing, or even to start dreaming about what I'm not doing, and asking God for that fresh new wineskin, so to speak, that I can bring out, that's something totally new and fresh for the kids.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
There was a time, and I'm not proud to admit this. You know, I'm very sensitive about it, because the Lord has really convicted me of this. There was a time where I was just in a rut, and I'm sure a lot of us in ministry have found ourselves in some type of rut. Whether it's in our walk with the Lord, or how we're preparing ministry, how we're preparing to do a Sunday service or a Wednesday night, or, you know, this big outreach event. But I kept relying on yesterday's good idea.
Ooh.
Instead of turning to God for a fresh one.
Yeah.
And I just, it's like that fidget spinner that you talked about. It's just kept circulating and circulating and circulating. I kept doing those things, and I would try things here and I would try things there. And,
right.
You know,
I've heard it said that sometimes that's why there are some people that have the opinion that the reason why some children's ministry leaders rotate churches or change churches so often is because they run out of all their good stuff. All their good material is used up, and they're like, oh, okay, now if I keep going, I'm going to show my hand. I don't have anything more. I've played all my cards. And
right.
And so, and oftentimes we do, you know, Jim Weidman, the great wise man.
Yes. Said,
you know, that a rut is just a coffin with the ends kicked out. And I think we, as children's ministry leaders, especially in the day and age we live, we need to make sure that we're kicking and getting out of the ruts, and start looking at what are we doing? I'll admit, David, just like you, I've changed churches a few times, and yeah, I've pulled back on the good old standbys. You know, some of the same object lessons, some of the same event ideas. And you know, it's a safety net, that I think many of us, put under ourselves, because it's safe. And so let me ask you a question then. So when is it okay in your mind to duplicate? When is it okay to go back to a good standby?
Well, to me, you know, it's got to be something that the Lord gives you peace on.
Mm-hmm.
If you have gone to the Lord in full earnest and said, Lord, I'm just seeking your insight, your input on this, which is what we should be doing all the time, right?
Right.
And again, I'm, you know, ashamed to say this, I don't do that all the time. I rely on my own abilities, my own strengths, my own ideas from time to time. And the Lord is very gracious sometimes to allow those things to be considered a success. But then the Lord is also very gracious to allow those things to fail, and me not be, you know, just strung up, you know, without a job,
uh-huh.
you know, kind of thing. But I think you've got to have complete peace from the Lord to say, hey, you know, what you did 3 years ago, whether it's in the same church or another church, you know, maybe it's something that resonates with that crowd, but you've got to have complete peace from the Lord, or I'm going to tell you, don't do it.
Yeah.
You know, that's the only time I would foresee that it'd be okay to duplicate something.
Right.
When the Lord says, have it, you know, for such a time as this, let's mm-hmm. go full on with it.
And, you know, I think for me anyway, when I go back to something that I've used before, one of my filters that I put it through is it going to be relatable in the context that I'm in now? Because every church's context is different. Every culture is different, if we want to use the buzzword. And so you got to know that what worked in your one culture may not work again in the new culture. And so you're going to have to be very careful before you go back to a good old standby, and, you know, and make sure that it fits, because what was an overwhelming success in one church may be a total flop in another church.
Right. You know, talking about cultures, Tom, I literally transitioned from a completely different culture compared to what I'm in now. Moved up to Lee Summit, Missouri 2.5 years ago. This is for 37 years.
Wow.
And having done all of my ministry, you know, in different parts of Texas. But nonetheless, it was Texas. And,
everything's, you know, bigger in Texas.
Well, that's what they say. But, you know, things that I did there did not translate well here.
Mm-hmm. Can you, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you think of an example of something that didn't? I know I put you on the spot there. That's the hot
spot. Because I've not made the, it was early on. I should have made a note of that.
Oh, I stumped him. See, we used to have this segment on the old KMC radio show called Stump the Bump. And if Wayne Stocks or Commander Bill or Ron Brooks, any of those guys are listening to this episode, they'll remember that fondly, that they used to come up with those kind of questions and they would get me. So it's okay. It's all good, man. Because I can honestly think of one.
The difference is more in people, and just the way of life. Even, you know, coming from the Dallas area, everything was 90 to nothing. The Kansas City area, things have slowed down a whole lot.
Okay.
And one of the things early on, you know, I approached here Texas, I was going 90-0 and was getting nowhere.
Okay.
I wasn't getting volunteer support, wasn't getting parent support, wasn't getting kid support. And, you know, so I'm just sitting there just running like I'm still back in Texas where that worked well. Up with you, staying with you, running ahead of you. And here I've had to really slow that down and change the way I present things, change prospects and all that kind of thing.
That is a great, I'm glad you went there because, you know, I hadn't even thought about the whole thing. You know, we were talking culture, but pace of life, the habits of where you are, you know, is it a, you know, and I mean, some of that is cultural, but I mean, yeah, I mean, that could be huge that you're used to running and having multiple activities. And in the next church, they may only want you to do one a quarter.
Right.
And if you're just into duplication mode, you're not going to be thinking of those kind of things. But if you're in innovation mode, you're going to go, okay, now what's something new and creative? You know, I thought of one thing that I was thinking about that didn't translate is I lived in a small rural community in Michigan, and we, you know, you'd have to drive 45 minutes to get anywhere for entertainment stuff. And there was a couple other churches in my area, and we all, I was a youth pastor and children's pastor both. And so for my young people, my middle school, high school kids, we started doing laser tag stuff. So I went to the store and I did some research online, but I found this laser tag equipment, that worked pretty cool. It was inexpensive. It was toys basically, but pretty cool toys. Right. And I bought a bunch of it. I bought enough setups, I think, to put, you know, to compete for like 10 or 15 people. I think it was crazy. A couple of the other youth pastors that I knew, they all went out and bought stuff too. And pretty soon we started this laser tag league, and we were playing all in the winter months. There was tons of stuff to do. You know, I mean, there wasn't a ton of stuff to do during the winter. And so we had these laser tag leagues, and we would play. Sometimes we'd even go all night long at a church playing laser tag. We'd have fog machines and black lights and strobe lights, and we would trick the place out. Well, I moved and I went to an area that was more upper middle class. So these kids had money. There was lots of stuff around. We were fairly close to a big city. And I'm like, hey, you guys want to play laser tag? Oh, yeah. When are we going down to the fun zone? Or I don't remember what the name of the place was. Right. And I'm like, oh, no, I got gear, man. I said, we can play ourselves. And they're like, oh, okay. And so they're like, well, bring it out. We'll try it, I guess. Well, they thought it was the lamest thing ever that I brought out these store-bought and toys to play. See, I duplicated. I didn't innovate. And they weren't into it. It totally flopped. You know, just because they were used to doing something totally different, they had the money. So economics plays a role in innovation and duplication. And so, yeah, you know, I mean, it's one of those things where we as leaders have got to start thinking about what fresh things can I do? And maybe it's, you know, setting a goal to do one new thing, this year. I think sometimes, David, what about the idea that sometimes we need, instead of duplicating, we need to kill off a program?
Ooh, yes. Yes.
I mean, I think sometimes we fall into, well, I've got to do this again. And you know what? Sometimes maybe the Lord's telling us we need to kill that one off, and stop doing it. You know, I don't know about you. I've had to do that a couple of times I can think of.
Well, I've had to do that here.
Yeah.
And I've only been here 2.5 years, and there were things, you know, how we were doing Sunday mornings, just wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And that was one of the things that the senior pastor and team have brought me in to do, was to change what our Sunday morning worship looked like for elementary kids. And the way they were doing it just wasn't working.
Yeah.
So we totally restructured that, reformatted it, and 2 years later, it's still going strong. You know, even that is something that I look at and say, hey, I don't want to get stale in this. There's things that I need to bring to it to help freshen it up, or you know, if this one way of presenting the lesson is getting too old, you know, what are some other ways to shake things up just to keep the kids attentive to hearing the word of God?
Mm, good stuff. So in your blog post, you talk about how sometimes it's easy when we start falling into duplication, that we fall into these traps that the evil one sets up for us. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, so Satan would love nothing more, in my opinion, than to see us just, if we're going to go at it without the Lord's blessing, you know, without the full power and ability of the Lord at work. In my experience, he's put these traps in my way of other churches, you know, much larger churches in the area. You know, what are they doing to grow? Or, you know, what are some things that their children's ministry has that, oh man, you know, I'm coveting over, really. And I had to catch myself about a year ago down the street to a really awesome church that just on that facility was or is an indoor playground. You know, right through the church windows, right into that playground. Very appealing, very attractive to the eye. And our church is in the middle of redesigning and going to do some remodeling. I'm like, that's what I've got to have. I've got to have an indoor playground. And so Satan loves to put these things in my head, and maybe does this with others, the comparison game. Oh, well, you know, if you did what this church did, you know, that you would see the same results. Or right. You know, if you take what you did at two churches ago that was just an incredible success, if you go back and do that again, you know, maybe you'll have the same successes. And every single time I see myself falling into that trap, or even, you know, looking back at those results, it's never been the same.
Right.
In my mind, a pretty good failure, because my expectation is for this event or this program or whatever is to have results for another culture, you know, another church, another community that doesn't match up with the community and the culture and the folks that I'm around now.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you, man. And you know, I think oftentimes you hit on comparison, that because of that, we'll see, okay, well, I see, you know, this article, you know, this curriculum is published, or this event has been done, and, you know, or I'm reading these Facebook groups, you know, because every one of us belongs, you know, there's like 10, 15 right. Facebook groups out there. Of course, we think the KMC group's the best one, but
absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's great.
But the whole thing is we start comparing ourselves and then say, well, if they're doing it, I need to do it. Right. Or just because this, I hate to use this word celebrity and kidmin, but we have celebritized a few people, given them celebrity status. And so sure. If they endorse something or they promote something, we got to be a part of it, or we're going to be on it. And instead of saying, you know what, maybe I need a season of just stepping away from all that. You know, again, I'm going to go back to Jim Weidman. He inspires me a lot. But I remember when we were talking to him about his writing of books, and when he writes books, he won't read anybody else because he wants fresh content to share. And I just think sometimes in kids ministry, sometimes maybe we ought to step away from the conference circuit, the Facebook groups, and just get alone and get a notepad or get some creative people together, or maybe get together with some other children's workers and create some content, create some fresh stuff. Ask, what is it that we can do that would be fresh to the kids, that would bring God's word in a fresh way to the children? You know, I think we need to start thinking about some of those kind of things. I think we need to because otherwise we are going to get caught in that trap of we're going to compare ourselves, or we're going to just keep duplicating instead of innovating. And the kids are going to know. They're going to, you know, I even had a pastor say to me, why is it that curriculums are doing the same stories? He said, I feel like my kids are bringing home the same coloring pages every week. He said, isn't there anything fresh out there? I mean, I was just talking to a pastor about this. It's crazy that we get stuck in those ruts. So,
and here's the thing. Let me touch on one more thing. Yeah. You know, folks can find this in the blog post too. A little more. But when I interviewed for the position I'm in now, the church I'm at now, you know, I relied so much on duplication. You know, here's what I did. Here's the results. You know, and that's okay. I think folks, you know, especially when you're in that type of situation, folks want to know what you've tried, what's been successful for you, what hasn't been successful for you. But, you know, I remember, you know, bringing some very innovative things to the last bit of interviews. And it was after I drove around this community that the Lord gave me those things. And one of them was doing neighborhood block parties,
mm-hmm.
and not be a new thing to anybody. It's very new to me. And I've not gone full board, you know, got my DJ booth out there and, you know, just, you know, the bounce houses and all that, the different neighborhoods, but I do have a snow cone machine.
Oh yeah.
And I have a heart.
I got one of those.
Yeah, and I would just, you know, I would encourage your kids, hey, we're going to be over in this neighborhood on a Tuesday night during these set times, and, you know, we're just going to go make snow cones for the neighborhood. Whoever shows up, you know, Lord willing, we've got enough ice and enough syrup for them. We're just going to make snow cones. And that turned into the going to the parks, out, you know, cold ball of water and popsicles. You know, Matthew 10:42 speaks to that so well. You know, and the Lord really just pressed upon me. I'm an introvert, so for me to do something like that out in public was a real stretch for me.
Uh-huh.
There's another plug for Jim Weidman, by the way. But there have been so many blessings come from that. So many conversations with folks of different cultural backgrounds, different races, different religious backgrounds. Last summer, I got to have a conversation with a mute, you know, got to do a little bit of sign language. And I mean, it was absolutely incredible. But had I not been listening for the Lord, and I not been asking for a fresh word and fresh ideas, I might have missed out on that.
Yeah. Oh man, that's good stuff. You know, I was even thinking my good friend Carl Bastian, the kidologist, he's one of the most creative people I know when it comes to writing his own material. And his, I mean, he's a writing machine. He's a beast when it comes to writing and stuff. And I know that a lot of times he just, you know, sits down and, or, you know, he gets inspired by kids around him. He thinks like a kid, and I know he's sensitive to God's spirit and wanting to say, you know, God, give me something fresh, give me something new, because I want to be relevant to this generation. I want to reach them for where they are and what interests them. And I think that's super important. So let's start bringing this to a head, because now I think people are, you know, they're listening to this episode and they're going, okay, I get it. I need to be innovative, but I'm not a creative person. I mean, I know that's what somebody's out there thinking. I'm not creative. I don't know how to create. It's just me. I'm in a small church. What am I supposed to do? So since you wrote the blog, I'm going to give you first shot at this. I got a couple of thoughts, but I know you have some. And so share your thoughts. How does somebody become innovative?
Right. I've got 4 points. And the first two of these points come, 33:3, you know, call to me and I will answer you and show you great mighty things that you do not know. And that was probably taken KJV folks. I'm so sorry. But you know, the first thing is to seek God with your plans and intentions. Hold to God. You know, simply take where you're at in life, or you know, where you're at in ministry, and just give it to God. We should be doing that every single day.
Amen.
Anyways, we should be, you know, driving into the office with that prayer in the tips of our tongues. And again, I'm guilty. I don't do that every morning. Second thing, in keeping along the theme of Jeremiah 33:3, wait for his answer. Mm-hmm. I'm not a patient person. I don't know a lot of patient people in ministry, right, for some reason. You know, you would think that ministry would be one of the places where we absolutely have to be patient and wait on God and trust in God. And, you know, for folks who have been called to do God's work, patience seems to be something that comes up repeatedly. But we have got to wait to hear from the Lord for that new word, for that that new wineskin, as you brought up earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, the result of going to him is his answer and him showing up and things that we didn't know. Okay.
Yeah.
The third thing, don't do what any other ministry is doing. Especially don't do it because they're doing it. If you're leading an Awanas program and there's another church leading an Awanas program and you're doing it because they're doing it and they've had great results, you're doing it for the wrong reason.
Right.
Not in the right place. You know, you want to be doing Awanas because of the impact it has on kids, to transform them, to help them know scripture, to help them pray for missionaries, to just help, you know, provide them a great life, really. You know, and we've heard the success stories. You know, we're on the Facebook groups, you know, we listen to the podcast, we read the blogs, and you know, so and so at this church, man, they saw 500 kids saved in one weekend. That's incredible. And you know what? That's God's blessing for them.
Right on.
Your blessing, 5 kids over a weekend. You know, it's the same. You know, heaven is rejoicing, right?
Right.
So don't look to duplicate what another ministry in your area is doing. And then lastly, the fourth thing, don't continue to rely on those awesome results from your last event or from last year or from your last church. Those things were for such a time. The Lord that put that back on your heart to do and try, and you know, maybe you have even greater results, but that's got to come from the Lord. It can't come from your own strength. So don't rely, again, don't rely on yesterday's innovation, because what you end up with is today's duplication. And then simply trust God for all the results. Amen. That should be our ministry mantra anyways.
Amen.
For everything that we're doing.
Good stuff, my friend. Good stuff. Well, since you had 4 points, I got 4 questions that I think we should ask ourselves. I think one is, why am I doing what I'm doing? You know, check your motivation. Am I doing this because, like you said, somebody else is doing this? But why are we doing what we're doing, or why do I want to try this? Is this something I really truly believe God has given us for such a time? So that's one question. I think another question is do people really, or kids really, want it or need it? Now, yes, sometimes we're going to give them things they don't even know they need yet, but are the kids out there looking for something? Like I said, they weren't looking for laser tag. They could go and pay $20 and play with really cool gear in a really cool arena. They didn't want to play around their church with little toy that they could, you know, strap on their chest. And yeah. I think another thing to help us become innovative is, am I excited about what I'm doing, or have I become bored with it? You'll know whether you're in duplication mode. If you're bored, the kids are going to be bored. The families are going to be bored. They're going to get into cruise control. So you want to ask yourself, you know, am I excited about this? Is this a fresh thing that I'm super excited? My everybody's going to get excited about. I think the last question is what am I listening to? What am I learning about? Are you listening? Are you learning? You know, are you paying attention to the trends as they come on and react and responding and pushing out new content now when it's happening in the heat of it? Or are you catching the tail end of the pet rock craze? You know,
I've got one of those in my house, by the way.
Well, you know, I think sometimes, you know, we're going to think of, oh, hey, let's try the new pet. I mean, I think there is a new pet rock phase. Did you know that? It's this whole painting rocks and hiding them now. That's the new trend that I'm seeing. And there's even Facebook things about you can paint a rock and hide a rock. And when you find the rock, you take a picture of the rock, you put it on social media, and then you hide it again, or you keep it, which then I don't understand. It's like the rock form of geocaching. But there's no coordinates. You just stumble upon rocks.
A random rock that has,
you know, it's funny, but I have a feeling that's going to be the new pet rock thing. I don't know. But anyway, I think my, our challenge is, and I think if I could summarize your heart, and you can do this for yourself too, but I think for me, here's my takeaway, and then I'm gonna let you do yours. I think for me, my challenge is for myself, especially as I'm transitioning hopefully to some new ministry here soon, is that I go in with a new wineskin approach. That sure, there may be appropriate times for me to duplicate, but I want to go in saying, Lord, show me stuff that I've never done before. Push me to a level that I've never seen or dreamed of. Get me out of my comfort zone so that I can experience you, and so that I can take your word in a new and creative way to the kids, so that those good old Bible stories are new Bible stories because of the freshness, the innovation that we bring to them. So those are my takeaways, David. What are some of your takeaways as you've been thinking about this?
You know, my you know, kind of final, you know, plucking of my brain and really trying to reshape, you know, how my approach was to ministry, was to ask God for a new vision, a new desire, an innovative plan for something fresh to happen. Mm. You know, God brought me to a new place. And while my ideas, my duplications, my one-time innovations were to the folks here in Lee's Summit, they're not new to me. They're not new to my heart. And, you know, if my heart's in one accord with the Lord, he says, go with it, you know, then hey, in the air and we're, you know, we're going full blast. But, you know, I've got to every single day, and I would encourage your listeners to simply, you know, wake up saying, I'm going to trust God for the results today.
Mm.
In our marriages, in our families, in our home life, in our community life, in our church life, and simply in our walk with the Lord, that I'm going to trust where he's taken me, or trust where he's taken my family, or trust where he's taken my ministry. I may be uncomfortable. It may not feel right. It may not seem right. I may be completely lost in what's going on. But if I'm trusting him for everything, then I know that he's got it, and that he's going to be the one to get all glory for it.
Amen. Amen. Well, David, this has been awesome. And I thank you for sharing your heart, and I hope people will go and check out your blog. Give us your contact info. How can people connect up with you? Maybe they want to pick on your creative brain or learn from you on maybe some of the things that you've done or whatever. So how can people touch base with David?
I'm on Twitter. Love to talk to folks there at D Madron, MADDRON. So find me there at Twitter. And then I've also got a website, davidmadron.me. Again, last name is MADDRON.me. And I've got some cool stuff there. I'm working on another post for next week on a parent social media survey.
Uh-huh.
Y'all be looking for that. And because as a dad, I spend a lot of time on social media for my own pleasure. You know, so I want to dig into what that looks like for my kids and our families. And, you know, if that's where they're at, then I want to find some innovative ways of reaching them and meeting them where they're at.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, folks. Well, that's going to wrap up our episode of the KMC podcast, and we'll hope to catch you again on another episode real soon.
You've been listening to the Kid Ministry Collective podcast. We hope you've been informed, encouraged, and entertained for these few moments. We'd love for you to connect with us on our Kid Ministry Collective Facebook group or subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It'd also mean a lot if you'd leave a review so we can help others learn about this podcast. If you want, you can watch this episode on video on our Kids Ministry Collective YouTube page. Our goal of the KMC is from Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Join us again soon for another KMC podcast.